Thank you for being at New Beginnings. We're kicking this off, and this is part six. Part five is closely connected to this. And so if you're here and didn't hear part five, you probably need to hear part five in order not to get offended at part six. Amen. Okay. All right. So I'm just encouraging you. They are online, and they're fixing to be on podcast. Yeah, we're just days away from that happening. So amen on that. We love the Lord, don't we? I want to tell you, we're looking at Mark, and I think you have Mark in your notes, but I'm going to back up a verse or two. And the reason I'm doing that is because I want to always let you know that when the Bible says therefore, or says for this reason, as we see in Mark 11:24, you need to go back a verse or two and see what is the reason, what is the therefore, what does it mean before, okay, so you can get a good window of it. Because it is possible, and it is an infamous practice of taking one scripture and putting your own frame around it and causing it to say whatever you want it to say. Okay, so it's very important for you to get the context or to get the atmosphere or the verses around what's being said. Okay, did I help you with that? I hope, you know, we covered that about 1,000 times in 43 years. And so I want you to have this, though. This is Mark 11. I'm going to back up to verse 22. And this is talking about, and you remember, because we've preached on this. We did a series on prayer last year. And so some of this today is closely connected to that sermon. But this is talking about prayer. And this is the time where Jesus was walking along with the disciples. I hope you remember this. And they came upon a fig tree, and the leaves were out, and it was looking good. And so the leaf tree was lying. The fig tree was a liar. The fig tree was saying, I got figs. Come by. You'll feast. You'll be blessed. This will be good for you. And the fig tree was a living lie. Because this particular fig tree in that part of the world, when the leaves come out, the figs come out. Different than what you have here in Texas. Okay, so when the leaves come out, the figs come out. And so if the leaves were out, the figs are supposed to be out. And Jesus walks up to the fig tree, no figs. And so this tree was a living lie. And I want to tell you, we see living lies in our world on a daily basis.
Yeah, we do.
Living lies. Promises of this and that and don't deliver. Okay? And outside of the Bible, if it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. But there's living lies out there. And so Jesus was teaching his disciples about living lies. Okay? And religion can be a living lie. Okay? And so he come up to the fig tree and he cursed it. He rebuked it. Okay? And so they're coming back the next day. And Peter's excited and saying, look, Lord, the fig tree that you rebuked is dead. Now, I want to tell you, when Jesus spoke the word, when he rebuked the lie, okay, the tree was dead. It was dead at the roots. It was dead. 24 hours later, it was obvious to the whole world that the tree was dead. Peter walking by, he didn't say, look, the fig tree not looking healthy. No, he said, it's dead. Okay? And so this is what this is talking about. And so Jesus said to them, have faith in God constantly. Okay? Have faith in God constantly. Continually have faith in God. This is a way of life. You depend on the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You stand for what God says and what God wants. And I want to tell you, God's against lying. Okay? The Bible's very, very clear that the father of all lies is the enemy. Okay? And the Bible talks in Proverbs. Did we cover this in Proverbs about lying? That lying is absolutely a doorway for a whole lot of other evil. And so it's very, very important that it's either darkness or light. And when we love God, we love truth.
Amen.
One of the evidences that you love God is that you hate evil. All right? Now, I want to tell you, we love evil people, but we hate evil because evil is destructive. Okay? Evil destroys people. All right? And so we need to be, this is a clear indication here that we stand and proclaim truth and we rebuke evil. We renounce evil. We renounce the lie. All right? You got to do that. You got to renounce. You cannot be friends with a lie. Jesus said, have faith in God constantly. Not just about the good, but also about the evil. Look at this, verse 23. I assure you, most solemnly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, he's believing continually. That's what verse 22 says. Okay, does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believe and that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. Now, I want to circle a little part on that. Oh, you don't have this verse. Okay, let me emphasize a little term in here. According to God's will. Amen. Not according to your will. Amen. According to God's will. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, God wills a whole lot. And it's all good. I'm telling you, God wills a whole lot for you. So there's a whole lot that we can park on there. But I'm here to tell you that this is a qualification about God's will. Now, here we are in verse 24. For this reason, verse 22 and 23, because of that, here we are in 24. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance to God, with God's will, And with confident trust that you have received them, they will be given to you. That's powerful right there. That is powerful. But see, I shared that with you because there are people that take verse 24. They don't look at verse 22, 23, or 20. They just grab verse 24 and they wrap a present of whatever their selfish or sensual desire is. Their lustful desire is, they wrap it up with verse 24 and claim it as theirs. Now, I want to tell you, it's very important that when you look in the Word of God that you see Jesus. Now, if you look in the Word of God with your picture on it, it can be perverted. It can be twisted. It can be turned. Okay? And, you know, it can twist the truth. Okay, the Word of God is not designed for you to have your picture here. It's designed for you to look in here and see Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit will show you yourself in Christ. All right, and that's what happened with you is that, you know what, you got a picture. The Holy Spirit put this with your name on it. That's what we call revelation. Revelation comes, but don't look in here and try to see you. Look in here and see Jesus. The Holy Spirit will show you yourself. And he'll show yourself in your who you are in Christ. In other words, you're looking through the glasses of Jesus. Amen. And when you look through the glasses of Jesus, you're going to look through his love for you. Yes. His love makes a big difference. It's based on everything touching the kingdom. I don't care what it is, how big, how small, whether it's a great truth, little truth, it don't matter. I'm telling you, it's all wrapped up in the love of Jesus. And when you get outside of seeing Jesus, you get outside of his love, it gets self-centered in a Dallas minute. Yeah. I dealt with a pastor in another city this week, and there's some sweet things happening. I mean, people being saved, and neat things happening, but there's a little disturbance that's come up. And he said, we're having some conflict. I said, whoa, wait, let me tell you what it is. There's pride, and the reason I know there's pride is because there's jealousy, okay, and there's contention. And the Bible says with that, anything out there can happen, but it goes back to pride. And you know what he told me? He said, you nailed it, Pastor. I said, okay. Now, I talked to him about some things that just give a little advice of what probably needed to be done. But I'm telling you what, that stuff can show up. I'm telling you, pride, self. Let me make an announcement. All sin points to self. I'm telling you what, pride is just, it's sticky, dangerous, poisonous. And just a little bit of it can creep in. And one of the other things I nailed is that this has become some self-promotion on somebody's part. Because somebody is trying to claim the credit for what God's doing. He said, nailed it. Okay. It's not that I'm super smart. I've been through this for about 43 years. I've seen it a few times myself. But I want to tell you, the Word of God talks about this. All right? And so I'm trying to share with you, it's very, very important about what glasses you look through. Okay? It's Jesus, it's the Word, it's love, it's the Jesus glasses that you look through. Look through, look at the Word of God and see Jesus. And, you know, because the Bible's not going to point you to dark. The Bible's not going to enable selfishness. I'm fixing to get to that. And, you know, sin points to self. So I've heard some people go stupid over this verse. Okay? I'm trying to talk Texas to you so we can get on and you understand. For example, I had a... I don't have time for that one. Okay. But let me say it like this. You cannot use faith as a leverage to make God do something for you. That's not the way it works. I want so-and-so, so I'm going to use faith. I'm going to use verse 24 here. I'm going to use faith to get leverage to make God do something for me. No, that's not the way it works. You don't make God do anything. Faith, and this is very important to catch, faith appropriates what God has already provided by grace. If it's outside of that, it's outside of God's will. It's outside of God's desire. He's provided and paid the price 2,000 years ago by grace. And, you know, this is his will. Okay. God did not enable by the cross, by grace, he did not enable us for provision of wickedness or selfishness or self-centeredness or self-promotion or destructive behavior. That's not in the atonement. That's not God's will. Okay? He has provided his provision. That's under his grace. That's by grace. Of course, his grace. You know what? We heard when she described it, this precious little saint described that her desire for this particular habit was gone that we heard earlier this morning. This great testimony. When I heard the word desire, you know what I heard? Grace. Because grace shows up like this. His presence, his power, his desire in me. That's Jesus. We see it in the diagram. Spirit, soul, and body. It's his desire in me, enabling me. His enabling power. She wasn't able to do this on her own for 45 years. But his enabling power enables her to do what God wants her to do. And to be what God wants her to be. That is grace. Do I need to say it again, or did that come out all right? Okay, all right. So that's very important. So faith cannot appropriate something outside of his will. Okay? Now, look, if I'm wrong on that, then you could say, well, by faith, I'm going to rob a bank and get away with it and get $1 million. Where's my gun? Okay, now look, I have a little authority to speak on this because at one time in my life, I was the pastor of a bank robber. Okay, but what I'm telling you is God did not provide for that. Okay, God did not provide for that in the atonement. Why? That's out of his character. That's against his word. And faith cannot provide for something that's out of grace. Out of grace provision, out of his character, out of his word. We ask amiss because we consume it because we want to consume it upon our lust. That's how we miss. And I tell you what, faith misses this way. All right? Well, I'm not just talking to you. This is what Bible says. James 4:3 says this. Or do you ask God for things for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose and evil and selfish motives? There it is. Your intention, even though you may say, well, it's just for God's glory, Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in sensual pleasures. There it is. That's the word of God. And so you cannot use verse 24 of Mark to say, well, I'm just going to use faith to get what I want. You've heard me preach before that God doesn't mind you having nice stuff. What he doesn't want is nice stuff to have you. Yes. Pastor Don's been a good example of this. We've seen it in his life about having nice stuff. He got nice stuff. I like his nice stuff. But you know what? He keeps it with an open hand. That's his testimony. That is wisdom. Here's the deal. When you have it with an open hand, you're declaring, I love you more than stuff, Lord. He likes that. Because he wants to be first. Okay? He will not provide for you lavish stuff to put on your lust. That James 4:3. See, it's the heart issue is important with God. And you can fool yourself, by the way. Okay? I met one time with I can't tell you his name, he's too popular. Or he was at one time. But he was real upset at God because he had gone in with some other Christian brothers on some oil wells up in Colorado, I think it was. And it was a bust. And he was mad at God. He said, I wanted this oil for the kingdom of God. I was going to do a whole lot of good with it. He said, I don't understand why God wouldn't let me have that oil because I was going to do good with it. And I said, well, I don't know either, but God knows our hearts. And our own hearts can be fooled. Okay? And then I said, the real kicker that ended the meeting pretty quick, I said, I guess God didn't need any more oil. I guess he's already got it. Amen. Okay, Brother Tim. Next meeting. But you see, we can fool our own hearts. But God knows our hearts, and the heart issue is important with God. The why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we praying what we're praying? I want to tell you the greatest goal in prayer is to bring God honor and glory. Oh, now that was big. Okay, well, maybe you need to go back and hear the prayer series because that's a big statement. Faith only appropriates what God has provided by grace. Because this is true, faith doesn't have to be a struggle. Okay? We're not trying to wrestle God into anything. Hey, faith is our positive response to him to receive. It's us saying yes to what he's already said yes to. Big difference. All right? God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. It's in his word that he wants you to be successful. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you, it's his will for you to be full to the overflow of joy, peace, and love. That's Jesus. That's God. And he's already paid the price for that, and that's already in us, in our spirit. And we're not trying to talk God into anything. We're not begging God for a move of his spirit. Some of the places I go, they do that. Okay, well, God's big enough to look past our words. But part of the problem I've shared with you before that I have with some of the intercessory prayer movement is that it comes out, whether they mean it, it comes out this way, that you know what, if we get enough people, if we add up the votes, we get enough people voting for revival, God will have to relent and say, okay, you win. No. 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 Okay, I made this statement to a church this past week, and the leadership went, wow, we're going to have to think about that one. And it was this one. I think I've already said it here. He poured out his spirit 2,000 years ago. I don't believe he ever took it back. Okay? I believe that from the Lord, he poured out his spirit, it's on. And he's never cut off the valve. We do. We cut off the valve. As a matter of fact, that's what we see in Scripture, is that, you know what, we're the ones that quench the Holy Spirit. Can you picture this? I'm just sharing this with you to kind of help you understand a picture of it. Can you picture God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit having a kingdom report meeting? And this was a couple thousand years ago. And they're saying, you know what? It just seems to be too much love, you know, in the church there on earth. And too much love. There's too much power being displayed. There's too much kingdom spreading too fast. And too many are being saved. Too many are being healed. Too many are being delivered. And besides all that, it hurts some people's feelings. Some of the cities in the civil authorities in some of the cities are upset. And the Jews are upset about the kingdom multiplying with too much love and power and too much glory being brought to us. And so maybe we ought to back this off. Let's cut the valve off a while, and let's just slow everything down because, you know, there's just too many being saved. And besides, it's turned out to be politically incorrect because it hurts some people's feelings. And some people misunderstand. Some people are offended. Can you imagine? Okay. Now, see, that's the type of illustration where sometimes people out there will listen to it and just use that. And you know, okay, I just said, don't do that in the name of Jesus. Okay, but what I see in Scripture is that it's on us, not on God. We're the ones that's been challenged in the Word of God. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. And the opposite of quenching is to liberate. Turn the valve to on. Let's liberate. How do we liberate the Holy Spirit to do all He wants to do? Full measure, huh? Hey, full flow. How do we do that? Well, we liberate by cooperate. Yeah. I think we're supposed to walk in the overflow. That's the normal Christianity that I'm saying. And we get so affected by the world and the five senses and the way of the world that we just get affected by that. But what we got to do is to renew our minds with the Word of God, where that we agree with what the Spirit, our soul agrees with what the Spirit of God is saying, and it flows, not just in our mind, will, and emotions, but also through our body, and also like a hose out there to overflow and splash on others the grace of God. Personally, this is Tim talking. I don't know this for a fact. Personally, Tim talking, I think this is what happened. When Peter was walking down the street and people on both sides would line up if they heard that Peter was on the way, the sick would line up on either side and he'd walk through there and people would get healed. I don't think, and this is Tim talking, that's word, that's true. The Tim talk apart about this goes something like this. I don't think he was going by there saying, be healed. Be touched and you be healed. And I don't think it was like that. I think it was this right here. He had the valve open. He's enjoying the Lord. He was walking in the presence of the Lord. He was walking in the overflow of God's joy, peace, and love. And as he's walking by, I'm telling you, the overflow is just splashing off on people around him. As a matter of fact, I got this picture the other day that when he's walking down the street like that, that he's not even aware of what all God's doing. Amen, amen. Come on. He's walking through there texting some of the other apostles. Glory of God. God's so good. I enjoyed the Lord this morning. But this is what the Holy Spirit was doing in the overflow around them. Now, isn't that a picture? I want to tell you, I'd like to park there. I got to move on. Where grace splashes out on others. So we receive and release by saying yes to Jesus, heart, soul, and mind. It comes through the physical. And you know what? Then we watch what the Holy Spirit is free to do in our lives, and in our families, in our church, in our community. Come on, do you see it? And so it's one thing to pray for the community. It's one thing to pray for the church. Pray for the leadership of your church. That's all good. But be sure that you're allowing the valve to be on in your own heart. And you personally are letting the flow of the Spirit touch and overflow your cup. Hey, the question this morning is, yes, are the cups running over and the pastors, yes, that's good. Pray for that. But, hey, does your cup run over? Because I want to tell you, until the cup overflows to start splashing on others, be sure that your cup overflows. Liberate. Don't quench the Spirit of God. And so, here's a picture I want you to catch. Heaven's cheering for us. I want to tell you, because this makes a difference, how much the kingdom of God is able to touch and minister to people outside the church walls if we're allowing him to touch and overflow inside the church walls. Because we can't stay in the church walls, we got to go to the outside the church walls. But I'm telling you, what this does is that this makes it where that wherever you go, you're a living epistle. Wherever you go, the very presence of God, you're a tabernacle of the presence of God. And he's able to splash out and touch people where they have needs. You see, it affects how much the kingdom of God is able to multiply and spread and touch, because the Lord has a heart for them. Let him love on you, but then let his love flow through and touch them. Okay, his arms are out like this, and heaven is cheering. Okay, I know in some churches they preach that God's mad. He's not mad. He's wanting you in on this. And his arms are out. Hey, they're not crossed like this and looking down. He doesn't have glasses, but he's not doing like this looking down at you. His arms are out like this, and he's saying, let's get in on this together. 1 Peter 1:3, praised, honored, and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we've been born again to an ever-living hope. There it is, right there. Circle that. That's him and us. Now, I want to tell you, your circumstances don't always look hopeful, but the ever-living hope is right here inside of you. You can receive fresh hope because the ever-living hope is Jesus himself. This has been demonstrated, okay, how powerful it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have this ever-living hope because of him rising again from the dead, and it's by the same power. Wow! Man, I'm telling you, that's good. Same power in us. Does this sound familiar? You've heard Pastor Tony lead us in this. Able to do abundantly beyond all that we dare ask or think. I'm telling you, this is why that we, right here at New Beginnings, at Midway, we can dream big. Because of the ever-living hope. What's his name? Jesus dwells in us. And it's been displayed how powerful it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is farmer talk. And I told you I was going to get to this. This is farmer talk. And one of my favorite scriptures. Matter of fact, I've got a sermon on this all by itself. But let me just try to kick it out here. This is Psalm 126. You don't have this in your notes, I don't think. Oh, you do? I'm so proud. Way to go. That's the beautiful blonde at work. They who sow in tears shall reap with joyful singing. Now, I want to tell you, don't let your wilderness keep you from enjoying the goodness of God. You may be in a wilderness at the moment. Don't let your wilderness hinder you from enjoying the goodness of God. For even in the wilderness, his presence is there. Okay? The glory cloud of his presence covers you, protecting you during the day. At night, turns into fire, warming you and keeping off the enemies. Don't you know? Enemies sneaking up on Israel out in the wilderness. We're going to get them. We're going to wait till nightfall. We're going to wait till morning. And they see the fire where they say, woo, we don't know that. We're out of here. I don't think we feel led to attack. They were protected in so many ways. But even in the wilderness, there was a daily supply of manna. Okay? Their provision was there. Their protection was there. Their guidance was there. You know, they did not leave every day. They stayed till the cloud moved. They waited on the Lord. And they didn't move till the cloud moved. They didn't get ahead of the Lord. They didn't wait behind either. When the cloud moved, they moved. Okay? Even if it took a year, they stayed waiting on the Lord. Listen, their wilderness, I'm not saying it was God's desire to send them into the wilderness, because you know what? They made that choice. But even in their choice of going back through the wilderness, I want to tell you, He was preparing them for promised land. And He'll take whatever wilderness has shown up in your life. I want to tell you, it's temporary. He didn't design you to live there. But even while you're there, do not waste your wilderness. Enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. Your wilderness is preparing you for the promised land, for promotion. Somebody say amen. Yes. He who goes back. So you may be sowing out of your own need. Because this is farmer talk. I'm telling you, that farmer would take that precious seed, and he knew that he could take this seed and he could make bread for his babies. But he went out to the stony, rocky, hard ground, cold ground, and he would plant the seed. And so he planted the seed weeping, trusting, believing, hoping, walking, trusting in the harvest of the future, sowing into his own future, because he knew if this crop failed, his babies would starve. So he sowed weeping out of his own need. This is where we are. I want to tell you, you may need to sow out of your need. You say, well, it sounds so selfish to say that. No, 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 no. You see, we're trusting in God and depending on the Lord. Hey, I sometimes deal with people that are very lonely. And I tell them, you know, you need to practice His presence. You practice His presence, and then you put faith into action by going and loving on someone else. They say, well, I need somebody to love on me. Let the Lord love on you. And you take how the Lord loves on you, and you go find someone else to love on. And I want to tell you, in the practice of them giving away, sowing and weeping, guess what? They receive harvest. You bring God a seed, He'll bring you a harvest. You sow the seed. Okay, I'm telling you, that is quite amazing. He who goes back and forth weeping, carrying the bag of seed for planting, will indeed come again with a shout of joy. I'm telling you, joy is coming. Bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing the harvest. I want to tell you, we got a lot of shouting coming in the future. And we want all of you to be involved in it. Amen. So the word of God. Speak his name. Most Christians that pray are praying for God to move, and heaven is saying, I already have. Already have. Now you move. Live it. Speak it. Apply it. Appropriate it. Faith comes. And it's resting in Him, not wrestling Him. Right. Not wrestling Him for it. It's resting in Him. That's the place of faith. Now, boy, that's the next series. I'm going to try not to preach on that yet. Hebrews 4:10 says this, though. For he who has once entered God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors. Jesus said, bring your burden of your labors unto me, and I'll give you rest. Just as God rested from those labors peculiarly his own. So there is a rest for the people of God. And our battle, our labor, is to enter into it. That's the battle. That's the battle of faith. We're talking about rest. We're talking about faith. Okay, we're not talking about sleeping. We're talking about... Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. All right, we're not talking about sleep, we're talking about rest. Now look, when the world, it's the battle of faith. When the world says we're going under, faith is resting in the Lord and believing. Lord, I know you've provided. I don't see it with these eyes, but I look in the Word of God and I see Jesus. He's my provider. And I see myself in Him, that I am a product of His provision. I know you've provided. I trust in you. I receive peace. Not worry and fear, I receive peace. Hey, let me give you a little hint on the next series. God did not rest because he was tired. He rested to enjoy the completed work. Now that's very important. Now I want to tell you, we're the crowning jewel of His creation. Everything was already done. I'm telling you, by the time Adam and Eve were created, everything was already done. Everything was made ready for us. For the jewel of His creation, grace. Now, in our time, grace has provided more than we need. That's the way Scripture puts it. There's more grace than we could ever use. Overabundantly. Now, I'm not picking on or kicking tree huggers. I love trees too. But we're the crown jewel. And it's kind of like what's said about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. All right? Trees are made for man. I'm laughing because I preached a sermon a number of years ago that went something like this. So dig an oil well. Plant a tree. Walk on grass and kill a deer. You know, the purpose of that sermon went something like this. That this earth was made for us. We're to be good stewards, but the earth was made for us, not us for the earth. Okay. So understand this. Everything was made in completion. Yeah. See, the old question is, well, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, the chicken came first. God made everything in full completion. I'm telling you, one of the first things Adam did, I think, was go up and take a nanner off the tree. And if you never had one off the tree, you never had one. I know you've ate nanners before, but I'm telling you, they're so good right off the tree. But this is what they did. They walked up and faith reached out and responded with a positive response to what God had provided. They took the nanner off the tree and probably peeled it. Maybe not in the first bite, but by the second bite, they peeled it. They, by grace through faith, because grace provided it, faith, positive response to receive what God had provided, they received it. That's why I'm big on spiritual exercise, because it tunes my heart to practice believing and receiving from God. I don't do spiritual exercise to earn anything or deserve it. We labor to rest, to lean on, come to the place of leaning on, trusting in, and depending on God. You say, well, I tried it and I'm not there at rest. Well, keep trying it till you do. Okay? It's the position of receiving and faith appropriating it. Okay? Our mind has to be continually renewed. You're looking at a guy who's been practicing this a lot of years, but my mind needs to be continually renewed. Amen. Yours does too. Amen. Let me give you some. This is about rest too, but I'm going to just go ahead and say this. We start in rest. You understand, Adam and Eve were created, and their first day was enjoying the day of rest, celebrating what all God had provided. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Hey, even the Hebrew mindset, the day starts in rest. Yeah. They start their day at sundown. Yeah. That's the start of the day. And so even in this picture, they start the day in rest. Beautiful? You see that? Well, it's God's heart for us to come to the place of rest. Our part is to rest and to receive. We're blessed with all spiritual blessing. This is what New Covenant says. Jesus has provided all of our needs. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings, whether we understand everything or not. It's true. It's because of what Jesus has done. Our part is to rest and receive it. By grace, it's already been provided. By grace, through faith, we appropriate it. Remember, last sermon, it holds hands. And He provides the faith. He died for our sins 2,000 years ago. By grace, it's a done deal. By faith, we reach out, okay, in 2018, and we reach out and receive it. Your faith doesn't make Him do it. It's already done. Does that clear it up? Yes, I hope that helped. Your faith doesn't make God save you. Your faith receives what He's already done 2,000 years ago. Okay. Everything we need has already been provided. We're in Him. He's in us, in our spirit. Healing, provision, joy, peace, and love already done. So God sees our hearts. And I want to tell you, when we pray a prayer that's not very smart, it goes something like this. God, please, 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 pretty please, pretty, pretty, pretty please, provide for me. God, you can do anything, but so far you hadn't done much for me on this. You see, we wouldn't say that, but that's what comes out. Lord, you've done nothing for me in this, and I know you can. Come on, God. Now I want to tell you, you know, this sounds like desperation, and we get to desperation. And I'll just rush to tell you this. God loves you so much. He's not offended by your desperation. But that's not the end product. Desperation comes a lot of times before we yield it and give it up and come to rest. Okay? Did we hear that?
Yeah.
Might need to say that four times. I don't have time. But look, I remember a time in my life. I shared this with a Bible class one Sunday morning. I remember a time in my life. And I want to try to get it right, but it came out like this. I was needing some money. And I really got this from a movie. I know I did, but this I said this. And I said it loud. I was desperate. And I remember crying out to God and saying, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. Show me the money. None of that spiritual. Okay, now I want to tell you, he loves us, okay? He loves us enough to look past stuff like that. But I want to tell you what it's not. That wasn't faith. Desperation, yeah. I wasn't resting. I was wired up and worried, okay? Okay, that's works. That's not trusting in him. That's trusting in my works. I felt like, Lord, if I get desperate enough, you'll have to answer. If I get loud enough, he's not hard of hearing. Okay, I'm trying to help you. Okay. You don't desire good for you and others more than God does. Don't try this thing with God that, God, I love him so much, I'd do it. Don't try that. He loves them more than you do. More than time for. He loves people. He loves you. He's already dealt with our sin, our sickness, our bondage, and our needs. Let's believe and receive. Now, there's no condemnation in this. This is a lifetime learning process, but it's important for us to get started.
Yes,
it's a lifetime journey. Rest and trust. See, it's not fear. That's the world's way. That's normal human behavior. That's the five senses. It's not fear. It's rest and trust. It's peace, not worry. Faith is confident trust. Not by works. The fight of faith is not with God. It's between our eras. Okay, did you get that?
Yeah. Yeah.
The fight of faith is not with God. It's between our eras right here. And we fight, we do labor to come to rest. Where we lay all this junk down and keep laying down the doubt, speculation, and unbelief. And we lay it down and we come to trust in Him. Rest. Oh, okay, let me say it like this. We make the best progress when we rest. There it is. I really like that. I don't know where I got that, but I like that. That fits. I think I told you I went to an eye doctor not too long ago. I didn't want to go. My beautiful blonde said, well, I'm going, and insurance pays for you to get a new pair of glasses. And she all said, okay, wait, you got me on that, free. Christians love free. I said, okay, wait, I think you got me on that one. She said, you get a free pair of glasses. Insurance. I said, are you sure? Is this a trick? She said, no. It's a part. We're paying for it with our insurance. I said, okay, I'm on. So I went and got me a new pair. And you know, these other doctors that are concerned about different parts of my body, they want to know if there's any destruction, not quite the word, regression in the eyesight. Say?
Deterioration.
This is why I love you. I'm telling you, what a help I have. Deterioration in my eyesight due to some other things. And so they want to know this. And so I told this doc, hey, look for any deterioration. She said, I'd do that anyway. I said, okay, well, the other doctors I know, they probably want this. Boy, she checked me out. She checked me out again. And she said, you know what? She said, I see no evidence of any deterioration whatsoever. I said, that's good news. I said, would you put that in print? Because I want that to go to every doctor I know. I said, let's put that in print. And this is what I told this doc. I said, look, I want you to flag my file because I'm going to come back in their near future, and I want you to be a witness of the restoration of Jesus. She said, what are you talking about? I said, I believe Jesus restores. And I believe he's going to restore my eyesight. And she said, wow. She said, no one's ever told me that before. I said, well, flag my file, because you're going to be a witness for me when I come back. Okay. Amen. She said, that'll be a good day. I said, yeah, it will. And you're going to be a witness for me. But see, here's the deal. Don't think sick. Amen. Park on healing. Amen. I had a little sweet friend not too long ago that said this. I'm sick all the time. I said, oh, I don't like that. She said, no, everything that comes by, I get it. I just get everything. I'm just sick all the time. I catch it. Whoever got it, I catch it. I said, wait. I said, I love you, and we're going to work on this. I said, but let's not think sick. Let's think healing. Okay? Let's confess what Jesus said, that we're healed. And let's believe for healing. And I tried to share with this person that, you know what? If you believe that you get sick by every germ that comes by and that you're going to catch everything, you probably will. But if you believe that Jesus is your healer and that healing is in you, I said, it doesn't mean that you won't get sick, but I'll tell you what, you'll get sick a whole lot less if you believe this. Amen. Do you kind of see where I'm saying? And there's other things I could be pointing to, because there's a lot of them in my life I'm believing for, but I'm using this to try to help you. Okay? The Spirit of the living Christ dwells in our spirit. We're not just normal human beings. Because someone used that on me the other day, Pastor. They said, well, we're only human. I said, no, we're not. There's one third of us that's Jesus in our spirit. Full Jesus. Okay? Wall to wall Jesus. You've heard me say it. And so we don't have to park there. We don't have to wave the flag and holler calf rope. Okay? Thank you, Father, that you've provided by grace all the healing we need. Now look, I'm not going to worry about the flu. Now don't be foolish. I mean, we're supposed to operate in wisdom. All right? And your husband's not here. I was going to say this with him present. Okay? So you help me relate this. Otherwise, he may not hear it. I'm not, but look, I go where sickness is. I go to sick people. I don't run from them. I run to them to put hands on them and pray over them. I go in sick places. Okay? I was in one the other day, and people were having masks everywhere. You want a mask? I don't want a mask. Now, don't be foolish. Be wise. I probably wash my hands more than anybody besides Pastor James. That's what I was wanting to say. You know why you're laughing, don't you? Okay, I love him so much. He is my brother. I love him so much. He beats me on hand washing. Beats all you too. But look. What we're going to do is not walk in fear. Don't obsess over it. I'm not going to fear. I don't have to walk in fear. I walk in trust. Okay, I'm going to trust the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, if you're on target when all this comes up and they speak the flu on you and everybody getting the flu and all this, you know, I renounce that. I refuse that in the name of Jesus. Okay? Just rebuke it, renounce it. Okay? I told one doc one time, I was in his office, and they had this commercial thing in the office where while you're waiting on the doctor, they show all these commercials of everybody getting sick of all kind of different things and what all can be wrong with your body. And he gets there, he said, hey, Pastor, how you doing? I said, I'm pretty tired. I've been in a battle ever since I got in here. I've had to rebuke everything come on that screen. He said, well, that was supposed to inform you. I said, well, I have other information. And so I had to renounce all that stuff. But look, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to resist the enemy. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to rest in you. See? So when I do get physically attacked, and I do get physically attacked, and you know which morning hits more than any other morning, Pastor James is coming in the room. I talked about you while you were gone. It was funny. It was funny. Brought glory to God, though, brother. So, look, on Sunday mornings, I pray. Look, hey, by the time I get here, most of the time I'm in pretty good shape. But I get up at 4 on Sunday morning. I battle before I get here. Okay. Now, sometimes it takes more battling than other mornings. But peace is worth it.
Yeah.
Come to the place of rest. Come to the place of faith. Come to the place of peace. I pray and submit to God to give thanks and renounce sickness and any manifestations. And then you know what I have to do? I have to act it out a lot of times that I am healed before it's evident. Did you catch that? That's not to manipulate God to heal me. It's because I already believe I am healed. It just ain't showed up yet. There's a difference. If you allow the enemy to intimidate you or to bully you, he will. That's the way bullies operate. One particular morning, Sunday morning, backs up to Saturday, because one of our young lady was getting married in another state, and she really wanted us to be there. And I said, you know, it's a Saturday thing, Saturday night, I'll get in. And, you know, I could have asked one of the other pastors to preach, but I really felt like I was supposed to preach. And so I said, well, you know, you'll do things for your daughters and your sons that you normally wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And so, sure enough, daughter Lauren said, I really want y'all to come. I'm a bridesmaid. I want y'all to see me in my pretty dress. And I want y'all to be here. Well, praise God. If it's for your sons playing a ball game or your daughter being in a wedding, you'll load up and go. And so we did. Man, it was, I had a busy day Friday too, and Saturday, you know, we're traveling out of state. We're there. Long day, long wedding. I wasn't in charge of it. Long wedding. Long reception. Hey, look, I get back to the mid-cities about 3 in the morning. I sleep for 2 hours. I'm up trying to do my normal routine. After 2 hours sleep, wore out from the day before, you know, that's, I'm not blaming anybody. That's part of my own choosing, my own doing. It's self-imposed. But there I am. Now look, that particular morning, I made 3 trips to church. First morning, got here about 7 o'clock, 7:30. And after I was here for a little bit, I realized I forgot my meds. You know, I'm out of my normal routine. I forgot my meds. My wife said, I don't want you going without your meds. Please go back. I said, all right, I'll go. So I run back to the house, get the meds, come back. And then it becomes aware that I don't have my lesson. I was teaching the Bible study on Sunday mornings. I don't have my lesson. I got to go back to the house again. Again, I'm back to the house, get the lesson. On the way back, I have to confess, I did pull the ears back on the Red Hawk a little bit. So I'm coming in here a little bit too fast, you know. But I was on time for class. Important note, I was on time, but this is my 3rd trip. So as I'm coming in a little bit too fast, and I'm in a little bit of a hurry, and I'm normally here to stay hours earlier. And one of the pastors kind of reproved me. You know what? Our pastor's not as early as he needs to be, and he's in too much of a hurry. And I tell you what, I encourage these guys. I want you to speak into my life. I need these guys to speak into my life. I want them to. It's important. And so there was a part of me that wanted to defend myself. But you know what? I didn't do it. My wife said, you want me to talk to them because they don't have any idea what... I said, no, no, no. I need that. That's important to me. Okay? I need that. Then I had this thought, well, if it was any of them... You know, see, it's where reasoning goes. If it was any of them, they'd be in the hospital this morning. With what all's going wrong with me this morning. Or they'd at least be in bed. Then I thought, you know what, that's not Jesus. You see, that's self. Okay, so I had to make a choice that morning. Self or humility? And I want to tell you, humility is good. Okay, now I want to tell you something. That particular day, I did not get any relief from symptoms. Are you listening? I didn't get any relief from symptoms till I got up here. And that morning I said, I'm here by faith, not by feeling. And I want to tell you what, when I said that, there was just a touch from head to toe. And you know what? It wasn't a vitamin. It wasn't an extra cup of coffee. It was Jesus. And there was peace. And I was at rest. And I want to tell you, that particular day, we had two people pray to receive Christ. There was a precious move of the Lord. A lot of folk come down for prayer. And it was a precious day. But I want to tell you, it did not happen. I did not get to the place of rest till I got up here. And so what I'm sharing with you is this, is that you can't wait till you have the harvest before you sow. You cannot wait till you have a feeling before you begin to celebrate.
Amen.
You don't wait until you get to the promised land before you enjoy the goodness of God. Don't waste your wilderness. I'm sorry you're there. I'm sorry I'm there too in some ways. But I want to tell you, don't waste it.
Amen.
Don't wait till you get to the promised land before you rejoice. If you allow the enemy to intimidate you or to bully you, he will. There comes a battle time. And I want to tell you, the war is won. But there comes a particular battle in everybody's life, if you'll listen to me, where that you absolutely fight the fight of faith, labor into rest, till you convince the enemy that by faith, that walking the words of faith, by walking it out in faith, you're not going to settle for it. You're not going to settle for defeat anymore. It's a thing called determination. It's different than desperation. It's determination because you're leaning on what Jesus says about you and not what everything else is saying. Did you hear that? I want to tell you, that's important. All of us have that. Pastor Don and Mary talk about a time where the enemy was keeping them, and you know, the attack, I think, was not Sunday but Wednesday, if I'm right, or something like that. Every Wednesday or something. And you know, it required a battle line being drawn. Having to operate on what Jesus said in the Word in spite of everything else. Till, you know what? I think he convinced the enemy in that battle that he's not going to be intimidated or bullied anymore. Now what the enemy will do, he'll try to sneak around to another area. But I'll tell you, it's important to let Jesus, our victor, that's present in us, be the victory. Agree with him and his word. How am I doing? I'm out of time. Okay, wait. Oh, praise Jesus. Okay, I hadn't done this in a long time. Who will give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I'm good. Okay. Let me try to get to this. Okay. Are we doing this? See, whether we feel it or not, it's out of faith. Because you believe, is it? Or is it by works trying to get God to do something for you? Hey, who's going to rule and reign in my life? Jesus, the Word of God, the greater reality of the Spirit, or my 5 senses, my emotions, and circumstances? Let me confess something to you. If my well-being was based on how many chairs are empty, I would quit. If my life was based on what the scale said, I would quit. If my life was based on a level of pain any particular day, I would quit. If my life was based on what my bank account says or doesn't say, I would quit. But I base my life on a greater truth. Somebody say with me, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
The Word of God is forever true. The Spirit of Jesus lives in me. I'm forgiven. I'm blessed. He is my provision. He is my healing. He is my love. He is my joy. He is my peace. I'm favored of God because of Jesus, not because of me and my works, but because of grace. Jesus. His works, his love, his presence, his word. Promises are true. Greater reality. Let's battle to the rest. And then we battled to stay there. All the junk is temporary. The treasures of Jesus in the kingdom are for all eternity. Faith is our positive response to God. It's saying yes to his yes. Okay, and we labor to rest. That's what spiritual exercise is about. Let me remind you what we've covered just the last couple of years. Practicing His presence is a spiritual exercise. Renewing our mind with the Word of God. Prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Okay, walking in peace. Okay, speaking the word of faith. Rebuking the mountains that are enemies. Okay, renouncing the lying fig trees in our life. Loving each other. Okay. Leaving the junk at His feet. You remember that one. That's exchange. Bring your burdens to the Lord and you receive His rest. It's an exchange. You bring your junk and you receive. One pastor of a church in another state told me, he said, you know what? We needed to hear that because we've been practicing laying our stuff down at Jesus' feet. But we hadn't practiced the other part of that verse about receiving His rest. Okay? It's exchange. Okay? All right. Let's practice it. Let's grow. Let's be transformed, soul, body, and image, into His image. And the Spirit's already there. I want to tell you, there are days I completely miss this. The days I just completely miss. What I love is that His mercy is fresh each morning. Okay? I've never done anything perfectly. One of the things I've learned is this. Heaven is not in a hurry. Okay? But rest and peace bring Him honor and glory. So let's, hey, believing big brings Him honor and glory. I'm a blessed man. You know what? We're a blessed people. And so we put faith in what God's already done by grace, and the results are this. Hey, my burdens being light and my yoke being easy. Now hearken. When my burden is not light, I'm not practicing the position of faith. I'm not at rest. Okay? You get that?
Yeah.
When my yoke is not easy, I'm not at rest. Now it's not condemnation, it's an alarm to let's go. Let's labor back into rest. Okay? Rest is our best progress. So, let's not agree with unbelief anymore. Stop the tug of war. That's a tug of war between faith and unbelief. We rest, we trust, we lean on the Lord. Jesus told the disciples, and He's telling us, don't let your heart be troubled. Okay? A troubled heart out there is the norm. A peaceful heart to the believer is the norm.
Yeah.
It's possible for your heart to be troubled. Jesus said, don't let it get there. If it does get there, you bring the troubled heart to me and I'll give you a restful heart. Come on. Rest is a choice. We choose Him. Cast your care on Him and He'll care for you. Okay, I'm finished. Let's stand up. And I'll tell you this. In all this, it's important for us to do what He says. I tell you what, loving God, hearing God, doing what He says covers a lot of ground. There are some things to do. Okay? For example, loving on others. It's amazing. And when you go love on someone else or encourage someone else and maybe you even sow seed out of your own need, how the Lord ministers to you. Okay? You bring a seed to them. You sow a seed into others. You reap a harvest. Now, you can do that or you could have a pity party. And people may show up, but they don't want to stay, and they'll leave. And you'll be there all by yourself. I tell you what, a peaceful party is a lot more enjoyable. If you're overwhelmed, and I know we get overwhelmed sometimes, but I'm telling you, if you're overwhelmed, there's no condemnation, it's an invitation. It's great to practice laying, by faith, your burden at His feet. And respond in a positive way to what He's promised. Give thanks. Receive peace, love, and joy. Be free in Jesus' name. Declare what His Word says about you. And go love on somebody. That's not hard to do. I'll tell you what, it's very powerful to do. Pastor, I've taken up too much time. So I'm going to kind of release the folk this morning unless you have something.